that's a Star Wars little hint in that video. You know what that means? That means you need to sign up for the missions banquet and come, because we might, Darth Vader might be here. I'm just going to plant that seed right now. Be here next Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Well, hey, I just want to say good morning and welcome to all of you guys. I am so excited to be here with you. For those of you who are wondering who I am, my name is August. I'm the youth pastor here at Northridge. And so what that means is that every week I get to hang out with your teenagers, not just your students, but from students from our community. They come and they join us on Wednesday nights back in that room over there. And we get to hang out. And what's awesome for me is I get to watch teenagers build relationships with each other. But more importantly, I get to watch them build a relationship with Jesus. And I get to watch every week as teenagers from this church, from our community, come together and they get to worship Jesus. And it's awesome. And we have a great time. And so if you don't mind, I just want to take a quick second and give you a super quick update as to what is happening back in Remix with us, with the students, and all that. So we've been going through a series called FAM. And if you don't know what that means family. Short FAM, family. It's raining out. I get it. No problem. But so we've been going through a series all about how we are family. And we are made God's family when we enter into a relationship with Jesus. He adopts us. God adopts us into his family, and we become heirs to the throne of God, heirs with Christ, and we become children of God. And then we've been talking about how as a church, as Remix Student Ministries, we are family. And it's been going great, and I'm so excited because this coming Wednesday night, we are calling it Give Everything Night. And I've challenged our students in two ways. The first way, I've challenged them to partner with God to do a miracle across the world in a place called India. So we're partnering with Speed the Light, which is a missions organization. And what they're doing is they're providing missionaries in India with these little iPod sort of things called Mega Voices. And it's a solar-powered MP3 player that has the Bible translated into their language. And missionaries can now go into these villages and all of these communities in India, hand out these mega voices, and they can listen to the Bible translated in their language. And it's only $25 to buy a mega voice. And so I've challenged your students and our students to buy at least one mega voice this week. I've challenged them to give everything they can to buy a mega voice individually this week. And my statement is, let's buy a crap ton of these mega voices and give them to missionaries. Probably shouldn't have said it on Sunday morning. I apologize, Pastor Preston. Please don't fire me. So I've challenged them to partner with God and do a miracle in India. Because what's even better about these mega voices is that people now, they can hear about Jesus, they can accept Jesus into their lives, but then they can give this mega voice to their friends so that they can hear about Jesus, because it's solar powered. And so all they got to do is hold it out in the sun, listen to it, and they get to hear about Jesus. And now they get to impact their own community and tell their friends about Jesus, which is amazing. The second thing I've challenged them to do this Wednesday night is to partner with God in doing a miracle here. I've challenged them to invite one person from their lives, or a friend from school, a brother, a sister, somebody from work, whoever. I've challenged them to invite one person to church this Wednesday night so that they can hear about Jesus and a miracle can be done in their life and they can join our family. And so I just ask that you guys would keep us in your prayers this week. And if you have a student that you would be like, yo, I heard what Pastor August is doing this week. Are you making progress? Maybe slip them $25 so they can buy a mega voice. You know what I'm saying? But I'm super excited for this Wednesday night. And then like Pastor Aaron said, this Thursday night is church work day. And you have nothing going on in your calendars. I will tell you that now. And we have food. Be here at 5 o'clock, and it's going to be a great time, right? Well, how does it go? Light work, mini hands, something, sheep's tail, something like that. Pastor Preston says things. It's weird. But anyways, be here Thursday night, 5 o'clock. We're gonna have a great time. But I'm excited for this morning. I love this morning. I love Baptism Sundays. They are my favorite Sundays of the year. And how awesome is it to see our friends publicly make a statement that says, I am going to live my life following Jesus, and I will be in a constant state of movement to where God is. So what I want you guys to do is just give it up one more time for Brianna, who got baptized this morning. So happy for her. So happy for that. We're so glad that she's a part of our Wingspan family. Now, I'm excited to be here because I get to preach, and I love preaching to the big kids because I get to hang out with all the teenagers and their bad attitudes every week. It's good to hang out with the adults sometimes, right? So I'm excited to be here and preach with you, and I'm kicking off our new series, which is called Diving In, Going All In with Jesus, which is all about baptism. Baptism it's a tradition of the church, and we know that Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. All right, it's raining. That's fine. Moods, I get it. But Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and ever since Jesus' baptism, believers in every time period from everywhere on this planet have been getting baptized. But a lot of times when we're asked why, why do you get baptized? What's the point? Our answer is, well, it's just what we do. That's what you do when you go to church and you become a Christian. You get baptized. So for the next couple of weeks, we are going to discover the why behind the what so that we can have a better understanding of baptism. And so that we can know for sure why it is important to be baptized. And so this morning, I get to kick off this series talking about the main reason for baptism, which is this guy named Jesus. And I get to talk about him this morning, and I'm super excited. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn them to John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and then verses 28 through 30. If you have a physical Bible, in my opinion, these are better than electronic Bibles. And this is what I tell the kids every week. If you have a physical Bible, it won't alert you when that boy or girl you've been crushing on messages you on Facebook, right? But your physical Bible will alert you when there's somebody around you who needs to hear about the love of Jesus, right? Right? So if you have your physical Bible, you can turn to John 4. If not, you can go to the Bible app. The events section has all of our notes and all of our scriptures listed out there. So John 4, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 28 through 30. Now, real quick, before I get there, this story that I'm pulling these sections from, this story is 44 verses long. Pastor Preston said, do not read 44 verses on Sunday morning. And so for the sake of time, I'm going to read these two parts, and then I'm going to summarize the rest of the story here in a little bit. All right, so John 4, 1 through 7, and it says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. Remember that, verse 4. He had to pass through Samaria. And so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now verses 28 through 30. And it says, so the woman left her water jar there and went into town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and they began coming to where Jesus was. Pray with me this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to come together to worship you. God, I ask that as we open up our ears and we open up our hearts and we open up our lives to you this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be here, that you would continue to move just like you did in worship, just like you did in baptism that we celebrated, and you would move in us and you would speak to our hearts and you would speak to our lives this morning. And it's in Jesus' mighty and holy name we pray. Everybody said, amen. So quick question, have you ever had a moment in your life where you did something or something happened to you and you were like, never again, right? Never again. No, I'm the only one who's had, all right, okay, that's fine. I've had countless of never again moments in my life. One of them actually happened Friday night through yesterday morning. So Carissa, my wife, and I, we were sitting at the homecoming game watching your Marshfield Tigers win, and they did a great job, and it was a great game. And about halfway through the first quarter, we see a group of about five boys from our youth group come walking in to the game. We're sitting in the stands up at the top. I see them. I yell. They look up. And they're like, "Oh, Pastor Augustus, Chris, what's going on here?" Right? Then they go and find their seats. We're just sitting there watching the game. Not even 2 minutes later, they come walking back this way. And they leave the game. Carissa, my wife, leans over to me and she says, "They know where we live." And I was naive and I leaned back over to her and I said, "But they know better." I was wrong. That is my tree in my front yard on Friday night. That is my side yard on Friday night. And that is all of it Saturday morning. And then my backyard on Saturday morning. We got TP'd. We got TP'd. And what I love is not only did they do that, but they graciously left us all of this toilet paper. Look at this. Actually, this one, I'm kind of jealous because it was really good. They annihilated us. It wouldn't be awesome. But this one, they like rolled it out, set it on the front of the bush, and then threw this in the back. And when I grabbed it, I kept pulling and pulling and pulling because it kept unrolling. So, hey, I know that some of their parents are here. I see you. If you're missing this, you can come find me after service. Okay? But thankfully, with this toilet paper and everything that I salvaged from my yard, never again will I have to buy toilet paper in 2017. Perks of being a youth pastor. Never again moments, they happen to me all the time. When I was a little kid, my parents, they took me and my sister, who's 2 years older than me, they took us out to a fancy restaurant when we were little kids, and my dad says that when we were there, they were trying to eat dinner, we screamed the entire time. He said there was never a moment of silence, therefore never again am I taking my kids out to eat at a restaurant that does not have a play place. And until I was 16 years old, we never went out to eat with my dad unless there was a play place. Even though they wouldn't let me play in the play place past age 5. But my all-time favorite never again moment happened the very first time Carissa took me home to meet her parents. Never again. Just kidding, I love my in-laws, I do. But the very first time I came home with Carissa, it was in February, and so there was snow on the ground. It was a very productive winter. A lot of snow, and the river, the Milwaukee River, was still frozen over. And so we decided, let's go snowmobiling. Grew up in the trailer park. I ain't never been snowmobiling in my life. And so I know that if I break one of these bad boys, I'm not going to be able to afford to fix it. And so the entire time, I've resolved with myself, I'm going to follow Carissa's dad, and I'm going to do whatever he does, right? And so Carissa is on one of them, I'm on another one, and then Carissa's mom and dad are riding together on a snowmobile. We take off from their house, and we start going through fields, and we're on trails, and We're just having a great time, right? This is amazing. It's wonderful. We get to the river. We get on the river, and we just start going down this. It's amazing, right? It's just super awesome. I'm having the greatest time of my life. I'm falling in love with snowmobiling, trying to figure out how I can afford to buy one of these things because I'm super excited. And so finally, we get to a spot on the river, and Randy, Chris's dad, stops. And he says, hey, it's time to go back home because we've been out here long enough and the sun's going to go down and we don't want to be out here in the dark. So it's time to start heading back. But Michelle, his wife, is going to drive. Okay, so they trade places and we start driving back home on the river. As we start our way back, Carissa decides she no longer wants to drive slow. And so she yanks on the throttle and in an instant is gone out of sight in a cloud of snow. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody right now, right? First time I ever met her parents. And so my decision is I just want them to know that I'm responsible and they can trust their daughter with me. And so I stay with her parents and I continue to follow them. As I'm following her parents, I see her mom, who's driving the sled, turn around and talk to her dad as she is still driving. I see her turn around, they're talking, and then all of a sudden, they are in midair. Because when she turned around to talk to Randy, she didn't see that somebody had taken a lot of time and built a jump on the river, and she took the jump. So now they're in midair. She starts to freak out. They land the jump, and the sled is just wobbling, going everywhere. Her mom, Michelle, is trying her best. She honestly tried her best to correct it, but in the process throws Randy off of the back of the sled. I was following them. Therefore, I also took the jump. And while I am in midair, I am looking over the handlebars, and I see Randy laying on the ground directly in front of me. In my mind, I know how this is going to play out. I'm going to land on him, and he's going to die today. And so I start praying, and I hit the ground, and in a moment, I squeeze the brakes as hard as I can, and I turn the sled as hard as I can, and a miracle happened, because like a professional snowmobile driver, I did a power slide, sprayed Randy with snow, and stopped right in front of him with about an inch in between us. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I will give lessons. And so I get off my sled. I help Randy up. I get him back on his sled. And we take off back down the river. And we get to the spot where we're supposed to exit, get back on the trails, and go home. And sitting there is Carissa with a big smile on her face. And she said, "What took you guys so long?" I looked her dead in the face, and I said, "Never again." And to this day, we have never again gone snowmobiling with her parents. Never again. So in our story today, Jesus, he's on a journey. And Jesus is not only on a physical journey to a physical place, but he's on a spiritual journey. And I believe that all of us go on spiritual journeys in our life. But the difference between Jesus' spiritual journey and ours is that when we take a spiritual journey, we're like, I need to find myself. I need to figure out who I am. Jesus, when he's on a spiritual journey, he's like, I know who I am and I know what I'm here for. And see, Jesus' spiritual journey was not for himself. His is for everyone else because Jesus did not come to this world for himself, but instead he came to the world to make a way for us to be able to have a relationship with him. And so his spiritual journey is leading him to where broken people are so that he can make a way for them. And I believe that there are some of us in this place this morning who need to encounter Jesus so that we can enter into a relationship with him.
So Jesus is on a journey, and what I love about Jesus is that when he goes on journeys, he doesn't follow the normal path. He doesn't follow the way that everybody else would normally go. No, instead, when Jesus goes on journey, he's in constant communication with his Father in heaven. And when his Father says, turn right, Jesus turns right. And so Jesus goes the way that his Father would have him go. Because if he was taking the normal route in our story, if he was taking the normal route to Galilee, he would have avoided Samaria at all costs. But I told you to remember, in verse 4, the Bible says that as Jesus was on his way to Galilee, he had to pass through Samaria. For Jesus, he had no option. But if you were to ask anybody else who was alive at that time, any other Jewish person alive with Jesus in that moment, they would tell you Jesus is wrong. Because as Jews, we don't go through Samaria. We go around Samaria. Why? Because we do not deal with Samaritans. Because Samaritans are less than human. Samaritans are bad people. Samaritans are no better than dogs. Samaritans are nasty. They're half-breeds. And they are not worth the time, effort, or energy of us, the Jewish people, because we are greater than the Samaritans. Therefore, in today's language, Jews were racist towards Samaritans. But aren't you glad that we have a Savior that does not care about culture or race or where you're from or what job you have or what part of town you live in or what your clothes look like? Because if he's on a journey and he needs to get to where you are, there is no stigma, there is no law, there is no culture, there is nothing on this planet that is going to stop him from getting to where he needs to be. Can I get an amen this morning? So Jesus is on a journey, and for him, he had no other option but to go through Samaria, because there was somebody in Samaria that Jesus needed to talk to. And I believe that there's somebody here this morning that Jesus is trying to talk to. And so he had to go through Samaria, and in Samaria, there's a watering hole, there's a well. It's a very known, it's popular spot, and he decides to stop there in the middle of the day. The Bible says that it was the sixth hour, which is actually noon, the hottest part of the day. So we're setting our scene. Jesus is in Samaria. He's a Jewish man. He's grown up. He knows everything that they teach about Samaritans. But he's still in Samaria. And now he's sitting next to the well. And here comes, enters the scene, a Samaritan woman. And she walks up to the well and she sees Jesus sitting there. But she doesn't know who he is. So when she walks up, all she knows is that there is a Jewish man at the well in the middle of the day, and this is going to be a problem. Because for her, something was going on in her life, and she was at the well when nobody else was supposed to be. And so Jesus, she comes to the well. Jesus is sitting there, and she proceeds to do what she came to do, and that was get some water. And now Jesus, this Jewish man, asks her to get him a drink of water. And now all of a sudden, she is on high alert because she's a woman of Samaria, and she knows good and well what Jews think of women and what Jews think of Samaria. Not only that, but she is at the well in the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day when there's no one else around, because there is something happening in her life that is causing her to avoid the other women, because the other women come to the well early in the day so that they could get home before the heat. There's something going on, and Jesus is in Samaria. So Jesus asks the woman for a drink, and she responds with, "How is it that you, a Jewish man, could ask me for a drink of water when I am a woman of Samaria?" Which is her essentially saying to Jesus, "I'm uncomfortable with this situation, so I'm going to deflect your question so that I can get out of here as soon as possible." Because his response should have been, "You're right. Don't talk to me. This is over." But Jesus comes back with, "Girl, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that is sitting here in front of you today, you would have asked me for a drink of water, and the water that I would give you is living water, water that causes you to never be thirsty again. You see, Jesus is on a journey. And his journey has led him to this well in the middle of Samaria to a woman who is full of shame and full of regret. And now Jesus is beginning to have a conversation with her because he knows that he needs to do something in her life. I like to think that Jesus probably didn't need a drink of water, but he needed her to understand that he has something for her. And I believe that there's some of you here today that need to get something from Jesus. He knows something is going on in her life. But instead of avoiding the issue and not getting awkward, he begins a conversation with her. A conversation that should have never happened. But because God so loved the world. Because God so loved the world. He sent his son Jesus to the earth so that he could journey through it. So that he could live in it. So that he could encounter broken people and restore their lives. But not only that, so that he could give us living water that causes us to never be thirsty again. Aren't you glad that we have a God? Aren't you glad that we have a creator that refuses to allow us to live alone in our brokenness, but he will sit at a well in the heat of the day just so he can restore us, just so he can talk to us? He asks her for water. She doesn't understand, so he offers her living water, and she says, all right, I want that living water. Give me that water that will cause me to never be thirsty again. And Jesus says, you got it. Go and get your husband. And now things are getting a little tricky. And she says, I don't have a husband, which is a half-truth. And Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband. Because you've had five husbands, and the dude you're with now is not your husband. And I can imagine that her face is starting to get red, and she is probably starting to sweat, because this is the reason, this is most likely the reason that she is at the well in the middle of the day. Because she is shameful of all the things that she's done in her past. And she is avoiding people and avoiding all of the other women for fear of what they're going to say about her. And for fear of the judgment that their faces will show to her. And now this crazy Jewish guy just straight up pointed out my past mistakes when I never said anything to him about it. And he brought it up like it's common knowledge and I don't understand what's happening. So as quickly as she can, she changes the subject and she begins to question him about worship. But Jesus being Jesus, because he knows why he's there and he knows that he has a daughter that he needs to save, and so he says something to her that breaks down her walls, and then she says, I know the Savior is coming. And then Jesus drops a truth bomb and he says, I am the one you've been waiting for. And in a moment, in an instant, everything about her changes. Because one encounter with Jesus changes everything. In an instant, she goes from being defensive and trying her best to get out of the conversation and to get away from the situation. She changes in a moment. She goes from that, from being defensive and avoiding, to running as fast and as hard as she can with such determination to the very people that she was avoiding to let them know, I just had an encounter with the Savior of the world. In that moment, in that conversation, this lady's life went from shame, regret, guilt, and avoidance to, good God Almighty, you are here. And this Jesus guy is your son, and he is the real deal. And when I talked to him, he gave me forgiveness. He gave me healing. He gave me love that I ain't never known before, and I need to tell everybody about it. Worship team, you can come this morning. Why all of a sudden this change in her life? Why all of a sudden this difference in her tone and her attitude? The answer to that question, why, is this man who goes by the name of Jesus. Jesus is why she is different. A man who came to this world with one goal in mind, and that was to show you and to show me love and to show us that it doesn't matter what people have said about us. It doesn't matter if we have been outcasted, because Jesus is here and he chose you and he loves you and he created you for a purpose, and he is offering you life, life that is free from shame, free from guilt, and free from regret, a life that leads to a place that he is preparing for us, a place that has no pain, a place that has no fear, a place that has no guilt and no more tears, but only joy and grace and mercy and love. And if you would just believe in the name of Jesus, if you would just believe in this man called Jesus, never again, never again, never again do you have to live the life you hate, because Jesus will make you new this morning. Oh, friends, on that day, the woman encountered Jesus. And when she did, she experienced a love that she couldn't get from five husbands. When she encountered Jesus, she experienced forgiveness that she never received from anyone else in her life. When she encountered Jesus, he gave her hope for a future that she thought was never going to be possible. On that day, after one encounter with the God who loves her more than words can explain, she had a never again moment. And she said, never again do I have to be who I was, because Jesus has made me new. The old is gone, the old me is dead, and the new me is alive with him. And with Jesus, there is no room for shame from your past. With Jesus, there is no room for guiltiness from your mistakes. With Jesus, there is only freedom from all the chains that held you down. And there is grace, and there is forgiveness, and there is mercy. But there is love and life that pours from Jesus. Do you need living water this morning? Because Jesus is here and he is offering you living water. Is there anybody in this place this morning that needs to experience the healing and forgiveness that is found in the voice of our Savior? You know how I know that his words brought her healing? You know how I know that his voice, the very words that he spoke, brought her healing? Because of what she said to the other Samaritans. Look at what the Bible says in verse 29. She said, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Friends, if somebody was to tell us everything we ever did, guaranteed our response is not, oh, awesome, thank you for that. Guaranteed our response is, okay, you know some stuff about me, but I need you to never say a word to anybody about what you know, and I'm going to get as far away from you as possible, right? Because that's a human response. That's a normal response. But how does she respond to Jesus? When he begins to tell her about everything she ever did, his words offer forgiveness and healing and restoration, because her response is, good God, I need to go and I need to tell these people that the Savior of the world is here. Because when you encounter Jesus, when you open yourself up to Jesus and he begins to go through the files of your life, the stuff that we've been trying so hard to bury and hide, when we give ourselves up to Jesus, he doesn't offer us judgment and ridicule, and he doesn't shame us for what we've done, but instead he begins to speak newness and forgiveness and healing into our lives. Jesus, when we open ourselves up to him, he says, I know that's what you did, but I've forgiven you, and that's no longer who you are. When we open ourselves up to Jesus, he says, I know that that's what has been done to you, but give me that pain. Let me carry that burden, because that is not who you are. When we open ourselves up to Jesus, he says, I know that that is what they said about you. And I know that they've been cared, that you've been carrying that around for a lifetime. But let me tell you something about yourself. You are forgiven. You are a part of my family. You are heirs to my throne. And I have chosen you specifically because I believe in you, because I created you. And if you would live your life with me, your future will be greater than your past. And I believe there are people in this place this morning that need to experience a future that is greater than your past. There are people in this room this morning that need to lay it all out at the feet of our Savior, that need to meet Jesus at a well so that you can have a conversation with him, so that he can begin to do a new thing in your life. Because Jesus makes all things new. Jesus doesn't allow you to live in your regret. He doesn't allow you to live in your shame. He doesn't allow you to carry that weight for the rest of your life, but he takes it on himself, and he offers you forgiveness and healing from everything that has held you down. I believe there are people in this room that need to encounter Jesus, because his promise to us is that he will take care of us in the hard times, and he will guide us to a future. Not only a future on this planet, but when time ends, he will give us a future in a place called paradise, where we are going to live with him in a place that he is preparing for us, all because he loves us, not for who you're going to be, not for who you were, but for who he created you to be. And he loves you right now in this moment for who you are, and who you are, and who you are. You are his children. You are his sons and his daughters, and you are royalty in his family. The thing I love about paradise is the Bible says we're going to get to a new heavens and a new earth. And so what that means is Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place with many rooms. And in one spot, the Bible calls them mansions. And so I know and I believe that my mansion is going to look a whole lot like Hawaii. But he's building a place specifically for you so that he can live in relationship with you, so that you can be near to him. If you would only offer him your life, if you would only say, Jesus, I believe in you. This morning here in this place, the Spirit of God is moving, and he is offering you a never again moment, a moment in your life that will change the direction of your future, so that you can say, never again will I be who I was, because Jesus is making me new, and he has given me a future that I never thought was possible. If that is you in this place this morning, if you are here and you find yourself in the same place as the woman at the well, so full of pain and guilt and shame, and you've built up walls and you've avoided people because you are afraid of what they're going to say about you. You're afraid of the judgment that you know is coming for your mistakes. This is your opportunity. This is your moment to find healing in Jesus. This is your moment to find forgiveness in Jesus. This is your moment to be set free from all of the shame, from all of the regret, from all of the pain this morning in Jesus. The thing I love about Jesus is he offers us peace that passes all understanding. And what does that mean? That means that people are going to still talk about you. People are still going to say things about you. My mama used to say, August, you're my son. That means people are going to have a lot of awful things to say about you. But don't worry, because that's not who you are, because Jesus has made you a new person. And when they say those things about you, when they try to bring up your past, you look them straight in the eyes and you say, it doesn't matter who I am. I am no longer that person that you think I am. I am not who I was, because Jesus has made me new. He has set me on a new path, and he has given me a new future, one that you can't even comprehend. So you can continue to talk all you want, but you're just wasting your breath talking about somebody that don't even live no more, because Jesus has made me new. If you are here this morning and you need to enter into a relationship with Jesus, then I want to give you that opportunity. If you are here this morning and you would say, Pastor August, I don't want to be who I am anymore, but instead I want Jesus to make me new and I need to have a relationship with him, then I want to pray for you. And what I want you to do in an act of surrendering your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand and put it right back down. So all across this room, if you could bow your heads and close your eyes in respect of those around you. If you are here and you need to enter into a relationship with Jesus, you need him to make you new. You need him to give you a future that is greater than your past. You need to have an encounter at a well, just like the woman from Samaria. This is your moment. And I'm going to pray for you. And so when I count to three, all I want you to do is just raise up your hand and put it right back down. Because I believe that when we act outwardly and we lift our hand to Jesus, we make real what is happening in our hearts and we begin to take steps closer and closer to Jesus. So if that's you this morning, when I count to three, just raise your hand and slip it right back down. One, Jesus loves you. Two, he wants nothing more than to restore your life and to heal your brokenness and to take your shame and your pain and your regret. And he wants nothing more than to see you live your life with hope and with love that you've never experienced before. Three, if that's you in this place, I just want you to raise your hand and put it right back down right now in this moment. I see you, I see you, I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to end in a song. And what I want you to do as I pray for you and as we sing this song is I want you to keep your heads bowed. I want you to keep your eyes closed. And I want you, if you raise your hand, to start having a conversation with Jesus. And all I want you to say is, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose again. And I believe that you offer me new life. And this morning, God, I'm asking for forgiveness, and I'm asking for a relationship with you. I'm asking for the same forgiveness and healing that you showed that woman at the well that day in Samaria. So as I pray, that's your prayer, and I want you to speak that out to Jesus. It doesn't have to be out loud. It can be in your heart. But let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly